Welcome to the Generations Radio Broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson, and I'm a homeschool father of five. Steve Vaughn, also in studio with us, a homeschool father of six. And we are doing a little culture analysis, trying to be men of Ishtar today. And we have such access to information today we never had 100 years ago. Think about it. 100 years ago, nobody really knew what was happening in North Korea or what was happening in China. Today we do. So I think we can be men of Ishtar cubed. We can be men who are discerning the times wherever we are, and I think it's important to analyze culture. Steve, I have received some notes from people who are telling me that pastors should not be discerning the culture. They should not equip their people in the area of culture. They should just preach Christ. But you look at the scriptures and you find, of course, Christ is prophet, priest, and king. A lot of times what they're saying is just preach the priest part of Christ. Preach the part that feels good to us, but don't preach the kingly nature of Christ, because if you did that, you'd have to submit to him, and that'd be a bummer. Sometimes they're saying that, and sometimes they're just ignoring large portions of Scripture. Hey, so much of the prophets deal with cultures. Elijah was dealing with an out-of-control King Ahab, who was engaging in the first instance of eminent domain. And of course, nobody wants to draw from that, because everybody does eminent domain now. The redistribution of wealth and property is everywhere. It's just a madhouse out there. But I think that the Bible has a lot to say about culture and about politics, and I think we ought to be discerning the times all the time. Now, we encourage our listeners to attend a church somewhere and receive good admonition concerning their own lives and concerning the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and the proper doctrines as laid out in the Word of God. So we hopefully you are attending church on a weekly basis at least and receiving some good instruction in the Word of God. This is not a church. This is a radio program, and this is giving you a heads up on what's happening in cultures in the United States and around the world. So today, Steve, I want to contrast North Korea and America.
Wow.
Yeah. About a year ago, I got in a little heat with the left because I compared Colorado to North Korea, and I said, I'm not sure that Colorado is doing that much better than North Korea. And they just hit the ceiling when they heard me say that. You know, I mean, come on. We are the most righteous nation. We're the most righteous state that has ever existed. I mean, we're controlled by Democrats.
Yeah. Yeah.
It couldn't be better, you know? I mean, we finally achieved the millennium.
Yeah.
Democrats rule. Yeah. We made it. It's the millennium, you know? I mean, but I don't think it's a millennium here in Colorado. I actually use the Word of God again to lay out ethics, and I'm just not sure. I'm honestly not sure what God thinks. I mean, I know people say, yeah, we just kill babies and encourage homosexual marriage here, but outside of that, we're doing great. You know, I understand North Korea is messed up. Now, and I'm not about to immigrate to North Korea. Somebody actually wrote to me and said, well, why don't you just go to North Korea? No, I think they're pretty messed up too.
Yeah, the lesser of two evils is still evil.
Yeah, but I do appreciate the fact there are people actually. There was an Australian pastor or preacher of some sort that was in North Korea over the last couple of weeks, and he was arrested. He's an old guy, like 75 years old, and he was arrested. I mean, he was outspoken. He was teaching the word and trying to lead people to Christ, and they put an end to that. So, you know, that doesn't happen on the streets in Colorado.
Not yet.
So you know, there's some good things about living here. You still have the opportunity to broadcast from your basement, and so far, nobody has shut me down. I'm sure there are a few that would like to see me shut down, but nobody has shut me down. We still have the opportunity to spread the gospel, call people to repentance and faith in Christ.
Despite the fact that they outlawed the Bible a few years ago.
Yeah, they did. SB 200. You're right.
Yeah.
SB 200. Yeah. Governor Ritter signed that bill that would have made it a 2-year penalty if anybody spoke against homosexuality or had said anything that would be perceived as unwelcome to homosexuals. And that's broad language. That's pretty much what Stalin would have written for those heading to the gulags in the 1920s.
Yeah, that's still the law, too, isn't it?
I think it is, yeah. So far, so good here. But in North Korea, Kim Jong-un forced mothers to drown newborn babies. This is a UN report, and the United Nations is all up in arms over this. You know, it's interesting the UN gets upset with North Korea.
Yeah, why is
on what basis?
Yeah,
I mean, come on, they're just killing babies.
Yeah, I mean,
isn't the UN funding the killing of babies in other nations around the world?
Yeah, but
a little bit of the pot kettle thing here, huh?
Yeah.
A little bit of pot kettle action going on here.
I think their question is based upon the location of the baby.
Yeah,
at
could
the
be.
Time.
Yeah. Environmentally, they're not outside of the womb, inside of the womb, and so it's okay if if the legs are still inside of the womb, like, or the head is only poking out, like, if you can see the hair, you can still kill the kid. Or I'm not sure how it works now. But North Korea is forcing women to undergo abortions and young mothers to drown their newborn babies. So this is pretty severe. This is forced infanticide, forced abortion. Never heard Hillary Clinton address the problem in China, though, concerning forced infanticide, forced abortion.
Now, did she say anything about North Korea?
I don't think she said anything about North Korea either. The gravity, scale, and nature of these violations reveal a state that does not have any parallel in the contemporary world. I suppose that may be right. No, all except for Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Kermit Gosnell.
Yes.
Except for him. I'm not sure that those women were all on board with the infanticides.
Yeah,
I mean, they might have been on board with the abortions, but they probably weren't on board with infanticides. So, yeah, okay. So it's bad. Basically, what they're saying is North Korea is a very, very bad boy. North Korea is the world's most oppressive dictatorship, and this report gives unprecedented detail on the Kim's regime's brutality. The California Republican said in Tokyo, where he was meeting with Japanese officials, this international attention is long overdue. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that this report came out. I'm thankful that this story came out. I'm thankful that that people are making a big deal out of this. This is a good thing. And I hope they shut this guy down. And I'm not sure how you can do it. And I'm not sure we need to go to war. I'm not saying that, but I think this guy needs to be shut down.
Yeah. The question is how. You know, will the people rise up against him? That, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they're strong enough to do that.
Well, we'll be back in just a moment, friends. We're going to contrast North Korea and America in just a moment. North Korea obviously messed up. North Korea obviously persecuting Christians. We've reported a number of stories on that from this microphone many, many times in the past. North Korea is now forcing women to drown their newborn babies to commit infanticide, something that the Pharaoh was doing in Egypt in Exodus chapter 1 that eventually led to the Exodus. And so this is the kind of tyranny that the Word of God speaks of. Anytime you have tyrants encouraging through the funding of it or the forcing of it by government fiat, the abortion or the infanticide of little ones, you are seeing the ultimate tyranny. It's something that we saw with the Pharaoh in the Exodus, and Herod in the time of the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. Be back in just a moment. This is Kevin Swanson. The program is Generations.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring a conference in Denver, Colorado on March 27 to 29, 2014. This is for families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy. This is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business streams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including family economics guru Alan Carlson and entrepreneur Dave Tucker, and yours truly, Kevin Swanson. Join us for our Family Economics Conference in our backyard, Denver, Colorado, March 27 to 29, 2014. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here, and the United Nations up in arms that North Korea is drowning newborn babies, that North Korea is in a forced abortion, forced infanticide program, not unlike what happened in China in the 1980s and 1990s. Although, it was very, very difficult to get international attention to China. Why? Because China is economically a stronger force and really didn't want to mess with China in the 1980s and 1990s. Although Stephen Mosher did write the book, The Broken Earth, that brought this to the attention of many of us conservatives. So we're thankful for Stephen Mosher's and his work way back when. But the United Nations now upset with North Korea over abortion and infanticide. And yet, again, Steve, comparing this to the United States, we've done our share of infanticide and abortion, and it's hard to know whether or not the abortion rate in Korea is higher than the abortion rate in the United States, or, say, Greenland, or the Soviet Union, or the old Soviet Union that is now Russia. It's hard to know who's doing worse. Now, I did an evil index in which I still rated North Korea as the most evil nation in the world. But Greenland was a close second, as it turns out, and America was down a few notches. But America, on the rise, America is a wicked nation and continues to break God's law at pretty much every opportunity possible. Here's an interesting article that I pulled off the internet just a day or so ago about this new book written by William Tucker. And I think I've referred to this book before. He's got an article on a conservative website, William Tucker, on the war on women and the war on the family. He says the war on women is something that the Democrats talk about a fair amount. And this is being waged by the Republicans, according to the Democratic Party. But the war on women is based on the premise, he says, that women are oppressed if they do not have access to free birth control, have unlimited access to abortion, receive equal pay for equal work based on the credentials rather than performance, and have the support of the state if they have a child out of wedlock. So he says that's really what he's talking about. So in America, what the Democrats are really funding and encouraging and doing everything they can to promote is access to abortion, opportunities for women to be entirely free from marriage and to be provided for by the state so that they will not be provided for by their own husbands. And what he's saying is that the state itself and the Democratic Party specifically is doing its utmost to destroy the family and to bring about what we have been chronicling the last number of programs. Steve, we've been talking about the breakdown of marriages, the breakdown of families, and the fact that 54% of children in America are not raised in the nuclear family with mom and dad. 54%, the majority, and that's what was up from 11% in 1960 and 0.2% in 1900. So the Democrats have done a great deal of damage to this nation, especially encouraging open access to abortion, which in my book is not that much different than what Kim Jong-un does. It's just the difference is that Kim Jong-un does the killing. In America, we encourage, the feminists and Democrats encourage women to do the killing. Now, which is worse? Think about this. Again, we're trying to figure out, how does God look on all of this? How does he look at this? Does he look at America and say, well, just because you have, 30 million individual women killing their own babies, that's way, way, way better than this one tyrant killing 20,000 babies out in North Korea. So how does the Lord look at this? Again, if you were the judge of the earth, now I know you're not, Steve.
Thank you.
Yeah, I know. Relieves you of some responsibility.
And everybody else. Yeah, exactly. Everybody else thanks you.
But if you think about it, some sins more egregious in the sight of God than others. Is America really doing that much better than North Korea? Again, I'm just asking the question. I got in trouble for asking the question last year. So I'm sure I'm getting in a lot more trouble this year for asking the question again. But is America doing that much better?
Well, you take a look at our leader, our illustrious leader right now, when he was a senator in Illinois. There was a bill that came up that if a baby was born alive after...
The Born Alive Bill, right. Yes. The Born Alive Bill at the Illinois legislature. And what did Senator Obama do with
that bill? He either didn't vote at all or
he tabled it. Yeah. He was in charge. This is what I remember. He was in charge of what happened and where that bill went. He eliminated that bill. He removed it from the picture, and he did it, I think, several times. No, he committed himself to a pro-infanticide position
right
when he was a senator. And now we have the most pro-infanticide president of the United States. Ever.
Yeah, and there are professors out in California that believe that the law, the abortion law, should extend to 2 to 6 months and even up to 2 years after the child is born, that the mother would have the option to kill that child themselves.
Well, the big difference, as I see it, is you've got a tyrant doing this, doing the Herod Pharaoh thing in North Korea. In America, we just talk our women into doing this and undermining the basic filial love that ought to exist between mother and child. And this is how you create a nation where the love of many grows stark, cold. All right. So the William Tucker article, again, The War on Women, The War on the Family, he says he's got a book out called Marriage and Civilization. I referred to this already on the program a number of times. He says that what happens is this. In polygamous societies, which is 75% of all human cultures ever discovered, then about 75%, polygamy very strong until, well, Christianity came into play, roughly 3380. But he says high-status men are constricted because they cannot take multiple wives. Under polygamy, however, which is practiced by 95% of mammals, it bothers me a little bit. This guy's evolutionary. So I've referred to this story before. He's evolutionary. But 75% of all human cultures ever discovered, the most powerful and successful men can take multiple wives. and sire large broods of children. The downside is that this creates an unstable residue of unattached men who become a constant source of conflict and disruption. Witness the eternal strife plaguing Islamic societies that allow polygamy. Now he's got a really good point. I want to bring in China for a moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. China is the nation that had sex selection abortions over the period of 30, 40 years. And now what, 80 million boys will not have a mate? Now, if that won't produce something of a destabilized world population, I don't know what will. I mean, 90 million males in China, nobody to marry. How in the world is that going to work out for them? Or for the world, for that matter?
Well, Russia's just to the north.
Yeah, they are.
So
I guess they pick a war that way.
Well, they could pick a wife.
Russia. They could do that, too. Yeah. But Russia's got its problems.
Yeah.
He moves on. He says, monogamy also creates another unsatisfied cohort that's often overlooked, low-status women. They're denied access to the most successful men as second and third wives. What the Democratic Party has discovered is that these low-status women can be peeled away from monogamous marriage by offering them the support of the state, ergo welfare, and the LBJ not-so-great society programs. This creates a kind of state polygamy. This kind of hurts.
Okay? Yeah.
This is going to hurt. This creates a kind of state polygamy where poorer women congregate around the main concentration of wealth in society.
The government.
The federal government. The big, fat, male pig in Washington. Freed from the constrictions of monogamy, these women are then free to pursue men on purely reproductive grounds, mating with men who are attractive, intelligent, otherwise have good genes, without having to worry about getting them to settle down as husbands. Not surprising to find that marriage and family formation in America are unraveling from the bottom. Began with African-American women in the 1960s, on and on and on. Illegitimacy rate now approaching 50%. All this is proving to be a disaster for American society. Children raised by single mothers six times more likely to live in poverty, have severely reduced chances of climbing to the economic ladder, meaning that looks to me like the welfare programs are going to have to kick in to another degree by the year 2025 and 2035 and 2045 until the whole system collapses, because you destroy your social programs or your social systems, as the Democrats have done with the war on the family. They accuse the Democrats. The Democrats accuse the Republicans of the war on women. But as it turns out, the Democrats are really committing themselves to a war on the family. And that's William Tucker's argument in his book, Marriage and Civilization. Well, Steve, that's pretty much what America is doing. America is unraveling the family unit, destroying the social structure of the family, and it's not going to do well in the years to come. It will result in the breakdown of character. And I keep returning to this issue again and again. Friends, the bottom line problem with America is not political. It's not political at all. The bottom line problem with America is how Barack Obama was raised.
Yeah,
in a single parent family.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line problem with America. It's how Barack Obama was raised. And Bill Clinton, for that matter. It's how they were raised. It's the dysfunctionality that will result in government welfare programs, and then you get a government welfare right who governs all of the welfare rights, and you will see a nonstop breakdown of the character of the nation, something that, I'm sorry, but the social programs and the education programs will not salvage. They cannot salvage the breakdown of the character of a nation. You break down parenting. You break down fathers and mothers. You create illegitimacy to the rate of 50%, you will destroy an entire social system. You'll destroy an entire nation and lead to lots and lots of debt. And we're going to go to that in just a moment. But you have a comment to make.
Yeah. One of the things that I've looked at with the government and the law, when you have, like Bill Clinton and Barack Obama and really most of the government right now, you take a look at the law of God. They have not only decided to break them, they have sanctioned, they have paid for the breaking of every single one. You take a look at, the first four that deal with the worship of God. Well, we can't do that. There's a war on Christianity. You take a look at the war on children against their parents through public school system, through the social services system, through child protective services that have a war on the family, adultery, stealing, murder. Every single one of those our government has paid to have broken.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you think about it, homosexuality is right there in the middle of it. And my understanding is North Korea does not really promote homosexuality. So that's one sin we've got. We're winning there. We got an edge there.
Yeah.
Right now. The liberals don't like it when I mention that. God destroyed Sodom over the issue of homosexuality, friends. And so he finds that an abomination. We find that throughout Scripture, Old and New Testaments. So if you're trying to minimize the problem of the sin of homosexuality, please don't. Please don't. It's as bad as the sin of infanticide and abortion, as I see it from Scripture. Okay, but let's move on to this last story before we end the program. And Steve, you know, America is in bad social shape, and now America is also in bad economic shape. I mean, here's an article that comes out of, I think this is Fox News. This is CNS News. I'm sorry, this is... Here's an article that comes off of CNS News and speaks of Obama doubling the marketable U.S. debt. And here's basically what he says. Obama managed to accumulate more additional marketable debt in 5 years in office than all the presidents who preceded him combined.
Wow.
There's the graph. You see that?
Looks like the hockey stick of...
That's the hockey stick
global
of
global warming.
That's the hockey stick of
only this one's
President
real.
Obama.
Yeah.
I guess that's how you destroy a nation. That's how you do it.
Yeah.
Now you've got to look at this article, friends, complete with a graph. Again, CNSnews.com. Obama has more than doubled marketable U.S. debt in 5 years. He beat Bush's record. Now Bush did his damage
almost
to the economy.
Doubled. Yeah.
He almost doubled in 8 years. Obama did it in five.
Yeah. I think Bush was 93%, and Obama in 5 years,
106%. 106% in 5 years. That's impressive. That's really impressive. The marketable debt of the United States government has more than doubled, climbing by 106%, while Barack Obama has been in office, increasing from $5,749,000,000,000 to $11,825,000,000,000 at the end of January 2014, according to the U.S. Treasury's latest monthly statement of the public debt. So again, friends, you're going to see a complete irresponsibility in government, and it's not like the Republicans are going to change that.
No, they like debt just about as much as everybody else does.
They sure do, and they boosted the ceiling. I mean, they did the same thing with supporting George W. Bush and all the massive, massive increases he brought upon the nation. And now it's just gone exponential since Barack Obama's been in office, and there's just no character left in the nation to reverse the trend, at least at this point. There may be a few good men left in Congress, but not very many. And Steve, you know, they ran as fast as they could to remove that debt ceiling. The Republicans did just a couple of days ago, and there's no hope in sight for the American economy recovering or for the American debt coming under control anytime too soon.
Yeah, isn't it amazing if you take a look at many different nations that God tends to judge them based upon what they are the most proud of. Yes. And so we are proud of our economy, our money, our wealth, and God's judging us on that. We're proud of the number of babies that we kill. God's judging us on that. And it's interesting that those two things actually correlate, because you know, we've killed 100 and some million babies in America over the last 50 years. I wonder what would have happened had they all been born and bought houses and cars and things like that.
And been productive workers.
Right.
Remember, the worker to retiree ratio will be one third of what it was in 1950, 20 years from now. One third of what it was, meaning there'll be far, far, far less workers for every retiree 20 years from now, because we killed 80 million of them between 1960 and the present day. Yeah. Yeah. We lived for the day. We partied hardy in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. This is what the baby boomers did. They killed 80 million babies, them and a few of the Gen Xers. They killed 80 million babies. They lived for the day, and they said, forget about the future. Forget about the future. Forget about our grandkids. We're not going to have them anyway because we killed most of them. And we're going to spend our great-grandkids into debt to the tune of $12 trillion. Thank you, Barack Obama and George W. Bush. Okay, that's the live for today, existentialistic, narcissistic, self-centered lifestyle that is promoted by most Americans. And Steve, I mean, we just have to turn to the few that are listening to the program and say, please don't do that. Have kids. Save an inheritance. Don't go into debt. Pay off your little 600-square-foot house. Don't buy the 6,000-square-foot house. Pay off the 600-square-foot house. Live for your children serve others, pass on inheritance to the next generation, plan on grandkids and great-grandkids, and please don't kill your children. And if you have, ask for forgiveness at the cross of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins. Enjoy freedom in Christ. And start living your life differently. Steve, I mean, I think all of us, all Americans need to heed this advice. Because to some extent, we're all living somewhat existentialistic lifestyles.
Oh, yeah. Living for the next paycheck, living for today, and wanting to please ourselves in everything. We're so committed to living more of a happy and comfortable life than we are about working hard and living for the next generation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And give yourself up, give your life up for Jesus Christ. He calls us to a life of sacrifice. And I think that's really where we want to end the program today. Yeah, okay, North Korea is messed up. Yeah, America is messed up. Well, let's start discipling the nations by discipling ourselves, by the Word of God, and discipling our children in the Word of God. I guess my encouragement to all of you is to continue to teach your children God's Word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. This is what we do, Steve, in our home. We just had family worship this morning. We were going through 1 Kings. We were memorizing Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and we prayed together. And my encouragement to those of you listening to the program is teach your children the Word of God. Take them through the Word of God. Be sure you teach them the book of Proverbs. Because I have no idea how this whole thing is going to play out. But one thing I do know, Steve, is that our children are going to need the book of Proverbs if they're going to build back the social and economic systems across this country. They're going to have to go back to the book of Proverbs. I know that many people look at the Proverbs as irrelevant. They certainly are if you're living a debt-based system.
Right.
But if you want to rebuild systems in the ashes of Western civilization, you're going to need the book of Proverbs. And that's why, of course, we've done our Proverbs study guides so that tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of families can teach their children the book of Proverbs and all the principles in the book of Proverbs and apply them with some of the family discussion questions that we've included in the study guides. Again, teach your children the book of Proverbs. Who knows what's going to happen in the year 2050, 2060. They may have an opportunity to rebuild society. And hey, the book of Proverbs, great place to start. The wisdom that God gave to Solomon, good wisdom, even better than what Margaret Sanger and John Maynard Keynes has provided us.
Amen. And we've been through a couple of those books, and I want to tell you, they're excellent. And you might read through those and you go, well, that seems to be just basic knowledge. No, this is wisdom, and we are losing that.
Yeah, yeah. And Steve, I'm going to republish them again and again with new illustrations. I'm collecting as many illustrations as I can. If people can identify new illustrations whereby we can illustrate the principles of all these proverbs that God has given to us, please send them into the radio program at host@kevinswanson.com. And you can get these study guides at our website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.